following message is presented by First Baptist Church of Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Now the message.
Well, if we can get anything out of this tonight, I'm really going to be surprised. This afternoon didn't go quite the way I would have liked it to. Two separate events. One stressful, one somewhat traumatic, but we did have a good lunch. Lunch was really, really, really good. But after that, it all kind of went downhill. One stressful event, that initiated several different calls, quite a bit of time on the phone this afternoon. One traumatic event, Marcy's little pet dog tried to get up on the couch. We have no carpet in the living room right now, and he missed a little bit and fell backwards. And when he did, I thought it was all over with. He was yelping and squealing, and it was pretty traumatic for everybody in the house. But he's okay. Took him a little nap, and Marcy managed to get a nap. I don't know how well she rested, but I got no nap whatsoever. So my question for you tonight is this. Did you get your Baptist nap? Are you tired right now, or are you a little bit more refreshed than you were earlier in the week? What is it that you have to do to step back and get a little bit of rest and a little bit of refreshment, kind of rejuvenate yourself, get your composure gathered back up after a busy week? So when you talk about being tired, there are several different levels and several different types of being tired. You can be physically tired. I feel that often. I'll tell you right now, I am tired. You won't hear me say that very often either. And sometimes I don't let it show, but September 11th, when Francine came through, it has been a whirlwind, so to speak, since then. Something going on each and every day, balancing normal life on top of recovering from that. So physically right now, I'm pretty much drained. And you've been like that too. Maybe it's a busy work schedule that you have to endure. Maybe you go through a different time at work. We used to go through turnarounds every year and a half, and that was often physically demanding. Maybe it's a mental fatigue that you're suffering from. Maybe it's something that you just had to study, something that you've had to work through, something that really required a lot of thought, and you just say, man, my mind is gone. It is poof. There's nothing left up there, and I just need to take a break. Maybe it's emotional exhaustion that you are suffering from. Could be a loss in a family. Could be a relationship struggle that you're going through that is just emotionally, anger, maybe sadness, something has got you emotionally drained. Or maybe it's a case of being spiritually tired. You know, when we have revivals, that is a time for you of refreshment and rejuvenation, but it kind of increases the workload on my part somewhat because it's almost a 24-hour nonstop, something going on, something getting ready. There are times when we go through Bible conferences, Bible studies, Sunday school teachers get prepared for Sunday morning. Maybe you've got different things going on at the church. Maybe you've got different things and you just seem like, man, I'm spiritually dry right now. I'm kind of wiped out. We experience a spiritual fatigue sometimes. So there's also types of rest that go along with that. What do you do to get a physical rest? Maybe you take a vacation. Maybe you take a trip. Maybe you go fishing, something where you're just sitting there, not having to do anything, just resting. What do you do to get a mental rest? You say, no, you know, I'm not going to read anything. I'm not going to study anything. I'm not going to balance no checkbook if you even do that these days. Whatever it takes for you to just disengage your mind from what's going on around you. I've met some people, it seems like they're on a permanent mental rest sometimes. And it's just like there's, you know, the lights are on, but nobody's home. So what does it take for you to be able to get that emotional rest? You say, I just need a time in my life where I'm not going through any struggles, no stress, no tension in the house. Is it possible for that to happen? What do you have to do to get a spiritual rest? Marcy and I we've been connected for the past few years with the retreat. It used to be the Timothy and Barnabas Retreat from the North American Mission Board. It is now known as the Refresh Retreat. And we just go and they cater to us. They pour into us. We don't have to worry about cooking. We don't have to worry about cleaning, making up a bed, doing no laundry or anything like that. It's just time for us to be pampered for a few days. We go through that every year. So what is it for you to get reengaged with the Lord spiritually? What is it for you to recover from times of fatigue in your life? What is it that you do that brings rest and refreshment into your life? So for the Christian, there is a time where we can find a total rest and total peace that this world will not ever know. I would like to say that I get 8 hours of sleep at night to get my refreshment. I would love to be paid to sleep. That would be a dream job right there. And so I can actually say I finally got 8 hours of sleep. It took me 3 days to get it, but I actually got 8 hours of sleep. We live in a day and a time where it seems like people want to go and do more. You see advertisements for energy drinks. You go to a convenience store, the grocery store, and man, there's a whole section for nothing but energy drinks. It just means people are tired. They want to have more energy. They want to do more. They want to go more. And the amount of energy drinks that are on the market these days, it blows my mind. Even when you go to the counters, they have like these little 8-hour energy drinks, man. It's just one little bottle. You pop the lid on it, and you're supposed to be able to go even longer with the energy level. And so you know how important it is for the body to have rest. We discussed that last week. You know what happens when you don't get adequate rest. And so have you ever been through a sleep test? Maybe someone thought you had sleep apnea. Maybe they thought you snored a little bit too much at night. Let me tell you, that right there was an experience in its own. First of all, you go to a hospital. This isn't your house. They have a bed set up for you. It's not your bed. You can bring your own pillows, your own blankets, whatever you want to bring. And they want to study your sleep pattern. So what do? They say, look, we want you to come in here. We got everything set, what temperature you want it at. We're going to bring you more blankets if you need them. We want you to get comfortable. But we got to get you ready so we can see what your body does while you sleep. So you got about 50 electrodes stuck to you from head to toe. They're in your hair. They're around your ears. They're on your neck. And then they put a mask on you with a breathing machine. And then before that sleep study starts, they come on the camera and they say, we're going to be watching you while you sleep. That's kind of creepy, isn't it? And then they tell you, just rest. And I'm like, yeah, right. I'm out of my environment. You're watching me, and I'm hooked up to all this stuff, and you want me to sleep. Sleep normal is what they say. So it seems like in the day and the time we live in, sleep is something that is a little bit hard to come by. It's a little bit different these days. The culture we live in is just driven for you to succeed in everything you do, and everything that you do, it's not going to be enough. You got to do more. But in your life, each and every day, on a regular basis, we've been going through the book of Deuteronomy. We know that God wants the children of Israel to get in this cycle of 6 days, work, 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 and then rest on the seventh day. What do you do in your life to get that regular rhythm of rest? And what is it that refreshes you? What do you do for relaxation? Many of you here tonight are retired. What does that mean? Does that mean you get tired and then you go and get tired again? The first time of getting tired wasn't enough, so you're going to retire and get tired even more? So what is it that the writer of Hebrews is focusing on? What is it about this matter of rest? He stated earlier in chapter 3, he started moving into this area of reflecting on Psalm chapter 9, talking about the rest that he would not allow them to have because of their hardened hearts. They wouldn't listen to his voice. And now as we move into chapter 4, he starts talking about a promise of rest. And so tonight, the title of the message is There Remains a Rest. No matter what kind of rest you've experienced in your life, no matter what kind of refreshing you've experienced, there is a refreshing and a rest for the child of God that pales in comparison to anything that you've ever experienced in your life. And so far we have connected rest with obedience. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 3 says that because of their disobedience, they would not enter into his rest. Last week we closed by asking the question, where can we find rest? And so this week we find rest as a matter of us being able to line up with God's plan and purpose in order to find rest. So we'll get to it in a little bit, but verse 10 actually makes this connection between rest and ceasing from work or works as God did from his. So here's the big question that's going to surface over and over. Did God actually need the rest? Actually, he did not. And so in connection with what we're looking at tonight, we can find the basis for that in Exodus chapter 31, verse 17. Moses said, here's what God told him. He said, it is a sign between me and the children of God, of Israel forever. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth. And on the seventh day, he rested. That's normally where we end up at. That's normally where we stop at. But it also says that he rested and was refreshed. What was it about that seventh day that caused the Lord to be refreshed? Was it because he looked back at everything that he saw in the first 6 days and he said, you know what? That's good right there. That refreshes me that it turned out the way that it did. And so I think the connection that we need to make is sometimes when you find a time of refreshing, don't just sit there idly and do nothing. Kind of look back and say, all right, here's what God has allowed me to accomplish thus far in my life. Now I want to get ready for what's coming up next. So as you think about rest tonight, think about a time of refreshment and what brings refreshment into your life. And so how often in your life would you actually consider your life to be in line with what God prescribed? You just no doubt about it. Right now I'm living the life that God wants me to live. I'm right exactly where he wants me to live. There's nothing left for me to do. I have achieved the goals that he has set out for me. I've fulfilled the purpose that he has had for my life. Has there ever been a time in your life where you would actually consider your life to be that far in line with what God has prescribed? And so if we consider rest to be connected with a specific day, I believe we have missed the concept of what God considers to be rest and refreshment. It's not connected to a day. It's connected more with a purpose from what I see. So here's what the writer of Psalm chapter 127 verse 2 says, if you want to write this down. Some of you are going to shout hallelujah when I state this first part. It is vain for you to rise up early. And everybody said, amen. But the writer of Psalms says, it's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. But here's the promise that God gives in Psalm 127 verse 2. For so he gives his beloved sleep. Are you starting to see the connection now? The children of Israel in their rebellion and disobedience were not allowed to enter into that rest. They didn't find that rest and refreshing. But those who are his beloved, those who are in line with his purpose, those who are seeking his will, he says, for those he will give his beloved sleep. So as we read through Hebrews chapter 4, let's look at the first two verses and we'll kind of unpack that a little bit. It says, therefore, meaning he's continuing on with his exegesis of Psalm 95. He says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them. So here's the first question that surfaces from those two verses. How do we find rest in the gospel? So the word rest here in the original Greek language, anapo, means to give rest, to give intermission from labor. It means to refresh or to take your ease, to abide or to remain in, to continue in rest. Depending on the context, it can mean any of those things, but more commonly it is used in this manner. It more commonly denotes the refreshment of the inner man. It's not just a time to get in your lazy boy and kick up your feet and turn on the television. It's the time for you to connect with something that's going to bring refreshment to you, both physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. And so the word gospel in the original language is the word euangelion. He said this gospel was preached to you as a verb, euangelizo. The good tidings, the word gospel literally means good news. And so as you look at that, something interesting comes up. He says, not only has the gospel come to us, but it has also come to them. Who is us and who is them? It is most interesting that the writer states that the gospel is preached to them as well as to us. When you think about them, in its context, more than likely he is pointing back towards the Israelites. Jesus wasn't even born then. Jesus didn't die on the cross. How could the gospel have possibly been preached to them when Jesus wasn't even born yet? To us, who is he talking about? Is he talking about the people receiving this letter? Our current generation? Here's the deal. The gospel is not an afterthought. This isn't something that God just said, you know what, I think I'm going to send my son to die on the cross for sin. This was something that he had planned from beginning of time, way before the earth was even formed. This was all part of his plan. So what the original Israelites, what the Israelites saw before Jesus was born, they were looking forward to the cross. They saw these pictures. They saw the shadow of things to come in the gospel. They saw the Passover lamb as it was slaughtered. They were covered by the blood, protected by the blood. They saw the serpent on the pole. And Jesus said, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That was a shadow. They just weren't seeing it as clearly as we were. So Moses and the people of his time, they were looking forward to the cross. Us 2,000 years later, we're looking back at the cross. We just get to see it clearer than they did. Hindsight is always 20/20. And so now that we have the Word of God, now that we have all of these shadows, now that we have all these prophecies, we can see, oh yeah, it all fell right into place. The gospel was there all along. And how can I say that? How can I say that they were seeing the gospel in a different light? Because Revelation 13:8 states that Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It was all part of God's plan before the earth ever came into existence. John chapter 1, verse 1 says that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That word "word" there is the word halagos, meaning a message statement that is talking about Jesus Christ and the gospel. So where do we find rest in the gospel? Well, understanding that the work has already been done and there is no work for us to do, in order to understand the gospel and to receive salvation through the work of Jesus Christ, that allows us to rest knowing my soul is satisfied, my sin debt has been paid, and I don't have to work to earn something that I don't deserve. And that's how we find rest in the gospel. You see, this outside world, there are people out there right now, there's somebody somewhere that thinks that what they're doing is going to earn their salvation. That is a works-based salvation. That is legalism. And you know what? They're going to work tirelessly until the day that they die, and they're never going to experience the eternal rest because they're trying to add something to the gospel. That's not good news. That's bad news. Because if it's anything that I'm involved in, I'm going to mess it up. I'm going to get it wrong. I'm going to make a mistake, and it's not going to work out according to God's ultimate overall plan and purpose. But if I say there is nothing that I can do to earn my salvation, the work has already been done. That brings a rest like nothing else will. That's how we find rest in the gospel. As we move on into verses 3-5, the writer of Hebrews says this. My little verse numbers are getting smaller and smaller by the day. Give me just a minute. For we who have believed do enter that rest. There it is right there. If you believe the gospel, if you believed in the work of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, if you believe your salvation is signed, sealed, and delivered, for we who have believed do enter into that rest. As he said, reflecting back on an Old Testament passage, Psalm 95, so I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. There it is again. He's lining up with what John wrote in Revelation 13:8. The gospel was not an afterthought. The gospel was God's plan all along. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works, and again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. So here's a question that comes up from this passage. Do we truly trust in God's overall plan? Do we really trust in God's overall plan? Are we resting in the assurance of knowing that my sins have been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ? I have been sealed by his Holy Spirit. My sin debt is paid in full. I have been justified. I am now being sanctified. And this is all part of God's plan. I don't have to worry. All I have to do is rest in what he has done. So something interesting comes up here. So I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter my rest. And then down at lower in verse four, it says, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. Now, the question arises there, why did God need rest? Or did God actually need the rest? Because here's what Scripture has to say about the Lord. Psalm 121, verse 4, he said, behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. I think that's what some people are trying to do these days with those 8-hour energy drinks, with these little pills that you can take that'll keep you awake, with all these monster energy drinks. I don't want to slumber. I don't want to sleep. I want to just go until my body wears out. But that's not the case for the Lord. He's constantly watching over us. His eyes are upon us. He's listening to our prayers. And the writer of Psalms says, he who keeps Israel shall neither sleep nor slumber. Have you noticed by watching the news that most of the attacks on Israel here lately have been at night? Under the cover of darkness, when everybody has let their guard down, but yet the Lord protects Israel because he neither slumbers nor sleeps. That should make you rest better at night, right there in and of itself. That while I am disengaging from everything going on in this world around me, when I turn off the TV, when I turn off my cell phone and put it away, and when I try to get my refreshment, my sleep that my body needs, God's not slumbering. He's not sleeping. He's constantly watching over me. And I can rest in his protection and knowing that everything's going to be all right. Here's what Isaiah has to say about the Lord and his rest that he needs. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Or you can go to Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. Do we truly rest in God's overall plan? And why did God need rest? And why is the writer of Hebrews saying here, pointing out specifically that God rested on the seventh day? Here's the thing. He was setting the example for us. He didn't need to rest. He neither sleeps nor slumbers. Nothing is too difficult for him. He neither faints nor is weary. So he didn't need to take a day off. He didn't need to say, hey, time out. I'm burnt out. I need some rest. I need some refreshment. What God was doing on that seventh day is he was setting the example for us is that you better take a day every now and then on a regular basis to recuperate from your physical, your mental, your emotional, and your spiritual fatigue. Because if not, your life is going to be cut short. You're not going to have the rest that you need, and you're not going to function properly. So here's the thing. Jesus, when he came to this earth, God incarnate, God in the flesh, he could have never rested. From the moment he was born, when he came out of Mary's womb, he didn't have to sleep, but as a baby, what did he do? He slept in that cradle. He slept in that manger. We even sing songs about it, Silent Night. Little Lord Jesus laid his head to sleep. And Jesus on this earth, he said, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He said, I don't need to sleep. I don't really need it. I don't have to have it. But yet, when he was on the ship on the Sea of Galilee, during the worst storm that those fishermen had ever experienced, where did they find Jesus? He was taking a rest. He was on a pillow taking a nap. And he even commanded his disciples to take a break from ministry for a time of refreshing. Mark chapter 6, verse 31, and he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest for a while. Why? For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. Jesus said, okay, boys, I've trained you to serve. I've trained you to be disciples. I've trained you to minister, but time out. You're going to wear yourself out. If you let the people press upon you too much, all they're going to do is take until you have absolutely nothing less. So come here, let me show you how to do this. Let me be your example of how you can properly do ministry. If you really want to be effective in ministry, you've got to learn how to do this. So when God created the world, 6 days he worked. On the seventh day he rested. He didn't need the rest. He set the example for us. And if that wasn't enough, he came to this earth in the form of a man. And he said, let me show you personally how to find refreshment and how to effectively do ministry. That is part of God's overall plan for us. And when we fail to get that rest and refreshment that we need, we're going against God's plan and his will for our life. It's kind of a joke, but it does have a serious side to it. Joycelyn laughed at it the first time she saw it. I think she even brought somebody else in there to look at it. But I have a sheet of paper that I put. I don't say just do not disturb. That's not what I said. I've got a verse on there that Jesus took a nap. That's my hint to you that, you know, don't disturb. I'm doing something. It may not be important to you. You may not deem it necessary. Don't knock on my door. I unplug the phone. I get along with the Lord just a little while. And even if I'm taking a nap, you know what? That's okay, ain't it? I've got to do that every now and then. But what do you do to get away? What do you do to make sure that your life is fulfilling God's overall plan for you? That involves rest and refreshment as well. This is a tough lesson for me to learn. I'm just going to shoot straight with you. This is an important lesson for me right now. Most of the times when I run across something like this and I really dig into it, the Lord's speaking to me more than he is speaking to you. And in order for me to bring something out of a passage and a message like this, I've got to grasp it myself before I can effectively give it to you. And so I think the Lord's speaking to me more through this than he is. You might be getting something out of it, and I hope you are. I think he's speaking to me more in this than he is anyone else. So let's look at what the main drive of this rest is. Question number three, what is the rest that remains for Christians? Let me just tell you now, I think that rest for a lost person is totally different than rest from a saved person. I think a lost person is constantly grasping at something that they'll never find. The writer of Ecclesiastes says that everything is vanity. Everything that you do is basically useless. You're going to wear yourself out trying to obtain more. But I think for Christians that there is a rest that remains for us, and most of the times we haven't discovered yet. Verse 8 is very, very interesting in this passage. So let's pick up on verse 6. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, he designates a certain days, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. We just recently looked at three festivals or three feasts in the book of Deuteronomy. And each one of them had a day designated to where you did absolutely nothing. And each one of those festivals, each one of those feasts represents something that they were to reflect upon. It was a time of remembrance, but it was also a time of renewal and refreshing. So when the writer here in verse 7 says that he designates a certain day, maybe he's attaching it to these feasts and these festivals. And today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, but reflect on the goodness of the Lord in your life to obtain that spiritual refreshing that you need. Here's the interesting point of verse 8. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Very interesting, the use of Joshua. He brings Joshua up in this passage. Joshua is a prototype of Jesus Christ, but Joshua could not give them the rest that God had promised them. Write down this verse, Joshua 22, verse 8. Here's what Joshua said. And now the Lord your God has given rest to your brethren as he promised them. Now, wait a minute. I thought you just said that Joshua couldn't give them the rest. Well, the brethren that he's talking about are the ones that passed away in the wilderness because of their disobedience and their hardened heart. The rest he's talking about is they died in the wilderness. That's not the rest that you want right now, I don't think. He says, God has given rest to your brethren as he promised them. Now, therefore, return and go to your tents, to the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of Jordan. There on the other side of Jordan is where they would eventually find the promised land and the promised rest. But what's interesting here is the name Joshua. In the Greek, it is the word Jesus, and it can mean either Jesus or Joshua. The first Joshua could not give them the rest. Second Joshua would. Joshua, Jesus would give them a rest that Joshua could never, ever provide. And how important is it for us to find such a rest. How important is it for us to really dig into God's word and find out, hey, I got to take a time out for physical, emotional, spiritual, and mental health. I need to take a rest that only the Lord can provide. How important is it for us to find that rest? And what is the rest that remains for Christians? A book that I use a lot is Biblical Imagery. The title of it is written by a guy by the name of Leland Ryken. And in it, he had this to say about a rest, and I quote, he said, such a rest, he's talking about Sabbaths and festivals, he said, such a rest reorients a person's values, taking attention off the workday preoccupation with getting as spending with, hold on just a minute, the workday preoccupation with getting and spending in onto God and spiritual realities. In the Bible, willingness to engage in such a rest is nothing less than a covenant sign, a perpetual covenant and a sign between God and his people. I'm sure I left something out of that because that just didn't sound right. Your workday preoccupation, you are preoccupied with getting and spending, and it is a way for you to reorient your focus off of that, and then onto God and onto spiritual realities. He says that's what you need to have, proper rest and refreshment. So turn with me just a moment to Exodus 31. There's a passage I want to read as we wrap this up. Exodus chapter 31. I read to you 31:17 a while ago. I want you to see the whole thing in its context and what it was talking about. Exodus 31, beginning in verse 12, talking about the Sabbath law in specific. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep. Plural, not singular, not just one day. He's talking about multiple days. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. This regular Sabbath, this time when we get a refreshing, this is a part of our sanctification process. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is a holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Sounds like they were pretty serious about taking this Sabbath on a regular basis. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And when he made an end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses 2 tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. Old Testament, Old Covenant, New Testament, New Covenant. Old Testament covenant was connected with a particular day. New Testament, find a time to get refreshment. Whether it's on Saturday or Sunday, your refreshment and your rest is not connected with a particular day. Your rest is connected with a particular person. And if you'll remember, there was a couple of times when Jesus got in trouble with the Sadducees and the scribes and the Pharisees because he healed a person on the Sabbath day. His disciples plucked grain and ate it on the Sabbath day. And they said, whoa, 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 that's not what Moses said. But what God is saying here is that whenever it is, wherever it is, make sure you are getting a regular time of rest and refreshment. Rest is connected with obedience, and rest is aligning with God's purpose for your life. So what we draw out of this passage, for those who do not believe, there is only misery and the tireless work to attempt to find rest for their inner soul. But for those who do believe, there is a rest. There is a peace that surpasses all understanding. Knowing that the work has already been accomplished 2,000 years ago. And knowing that fact and knowing that person who accomplished that work will give you a rest that you will not experience anywhere in any other way. So Charles Swindoll had this to say about rest and renewal. He says, renewal and restoration are not luxuries. They are essentials. Being alone and resting for a while is not selfish. It is Christ-like. Are you getting the rest that you need? And have you found the rest that can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ? Come unto me, all ye who labor and are weary laden, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke and learn about me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You will find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you're wearing yourself down and not accomplishing anything, you are definitely not fulfilling God's plan and purpose for your life. And any time you look in the Bible and when you see God himself intentionally took a day off, and Jesus intentionally took a nap every now and then, that's a strong, strong message that we should be doing the same thing in our life from time to time. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight. We thank you so much for your love and your mercy and your grace. God, teach us how to rest in you. Teach us how, Lord God, just to take a time out every now and then for nothing other than just reflecting upon your goodness towards us. For looking back on our life, Lord God, and just seeing what all that you've accomplished through us. Not what we've accomplished, Lord God. Not what we've been able to do. Not the things that we've been able to check off of our list. But just looking at the many ways that you've blessed us, Lord God. I know, Lord God, in my own life, it's easy to fill up a calendar. It's easy to jam up a schedule where you have no time for anything else. And sometimes when we do that, Lord, we tend to miss out on the most important things. Spending time with you. Ministering to those that are in need. So Lord, teach us how to be more like you. Teach us how to reflect upon your goodness each and every day. And Lord, above all else, help us to find rest in you. Knowing that your plan is good for us, knowing that you're in control of every situation. Lord, it doesn't do us any good at all to sit up and worry about a situation that we can't do anything about. What better way to rest, Lord God, than to give it to you and just go to sleep? Because you promised in your word, Lord God, that you would give your beloved sleep. And Lord, that's what we want for our lives. We love you so much, Lord, and we thank you for what you've shown us in your word. Help us now to apply it to our lives, Lord God, and become more like you. And we just ask these things in your most precious and holy name. And all God's people said, amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Morgan City, Louisiana.
For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about First Baptist Church, including contact info, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.